I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. I've observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. It's a really interesting line that the Lord gives us, and there's a few levels by which we can understand this. First of all, just like, who's the one who's saying, I have observed? It's the voice of Jesus. Jesus has observed this. And so the first level is this cosmic dimension that Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, who was not made, that he always has been, that at the time when God had created all of the angels, he had set in his a certain angel to be the light bearer, Lucifer, to bring the light of God into the world. And yet this one fell, that he is the ancient dragon and foe of God and of the human face, that Lucifer was the one who said, I will not serve. I refuse to serve. Satan, this is so important for us, Satan has no humility whatsoever, and he has no obedience whatsoever. It's the two things he can't stand. It's why he hates the Blessed Mother so much. And she was so humble and obedient to God's plan. So Satan falls out of this pride. I will not serve God, and I will not serve the humans that you're intending to create. And so he falls, and we hear in Revelation that he took one-third of the angels with him, that this ancient dragon swept one-third of the stars out of the sky. And Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And Satan and his demons spend all of their time looking to thwart the plan of God, looking to thwart the plan of God in your life, to make all of us absolutely miserable, to separate husband and wife, to separate brother and sister, to separate all of humanity into a darkness, that the light bearer now desires to bring darkness into the world that God created. I saw Satan fall like lightning. That's that sort of cosmic plane. I wasn't there to report it, but it's been passed down through Scripture, through the tradition of the church. This is what we understand about Satan's ultimate fall, but it's important for us to remember humility and obedience, knowing who I am and where I fit into this whole mix, and how it is that I'm called to obedire, to listen and respond to the will of God in my life. The more immediate context comes to us in light of today's gospel, the 72 disciples, friends of Jesus, who are sent out. And Jesus gives them a word. I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Like, okay, Lord. Like, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. It's not a fair fight. And he's going to send them out anyway. And he gives them another encouragement. Take nothing with you. No money bag, no sandals, no sack. Don't greet anyone on the way. Don't try and make friends. It's like all these places that we want to hold on to and clutch on to and think, this is my place of security. This is my place of safety. The Lord says, I'm going to take those things away, strip those away for a week as you all go out. So you have to learn to rely on me, not to rely on earthly things, worldly things, but you're going to have to dig deep. You're not going to be able to cling to your wallet and say, look how much I have. Even if nobody's responding to my work, look how much money I have. Or look at the clothes that I have, these places that we put our security. And so they go out, listening, obedient to the Lord's call. I'm going to be sent like a lamb amongst wolves. They go out two by two, strength in numbers. The Christian life was never meant to be alone. I'm sorry for many of you who feel like you're alone in the midst of this journey. You're living your faith, and yet nobody understands it. I want you to pray, Lord, I need a friend. I need a friend to be with me on this journey, because the Christian life is not meant to be lived by myself in isolation, in fear, sort of hunkering down and protecting myself. Jesus sends them out two by two. And wouldn't you believe it? They come back, and we hear they were rejoicing as they returned. They got to tell Jesus all of the things that they had done. And they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. This is the kingdom of God breaking into Satan's territory. The kingdom of God is breaking in to the land, the people, the hearts that Satan has grasped a foothold on. And his kingdom, Satan's kingdom, is gradually being undone by the work of people who are bringing the light of Christ into the rest of the world. Satan's first task of being the light bearer is now being undone by people who have been illuminated by the light of the gospel message, and that Jesus' power, God's power, is so much more powerful than that of Satan. Satan is just a creature. The demons are just creatures. Jesus, God, is the creator of all things. This is the kingdom of God breaking in, taking back territory. That there's a war being fought for every individual human soul, created, known, loved, and chosen by God. There is a battle taking place, and it's so easy. Satan either wants us to become infatuated with him or to think about him not at all. But to know that my life is claimed by God and Satan is grasping, clawing every way he can, it's like I'm in the midst of a battle and I choose God. I choose God in the midst of this battle. I'm going to refuse temptation. The next level of this is Jesus' whole mission. Why did God send his son into the world? That God becomes man. He preaches, he teaches, he heals, he works miracles. He goes to the cross on that Good Friday. 3 days later, well, he dies. 3 days later, he rises from the grave. How many times do we see Jesus casting out demons? How many times do we see the Pharisees or whomever tried to kill Jesus to thwart the plan of God? And yet Jesus comes into the world to do battle with Satan, that he's our commander in chief. He's the one who leads us into this spiritual cosmic plane so that we can live in freedom. That there really is a victory secured on the cross and in the resurrection of Jesus. This is why St. Paul can boast in the cross. This is a ridiculous thing to be able to write. Anybody knows that the cross is a complete failure. This person was a criminal. This person was accused. This person was condemned. This person died a justful death. And yet for us as Christians, we have to boast in the cross because it's the means of our liberation. It's the means of us, as St. Paul tells us, of being a new creation. That I don't want to be my old sinful self. I want to be made new. And that this battle, I wish it was over, but that would mean that Jesus has to come back. That the promise of this battle being over is that there will be a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more tears, no more fighting, no more death, no more sadness. And that day is on the horizon. This is why Christians are people of hope. That while I might feel weighed down in the midst of this, there will be a day that God is ushering in, that we will be completely free, that the rivers will teem, that the trees along this life-giving river will flourish with life. You and I are on our way. Jesus saw Satan fall like lightning, and the work isn't finished. So what does it mean for us at the final level, personally? That we're in the midst of a spiritual battle. And so long as we're living for the kingdom of God, that's a secure place. So long as we're frequenting the sacraments regularly, that every time I fall, I need to run back to the sacrament of confession, that the Eucharist is a place of sustenance. It's a place that I know I'm cared for, that God is providing for me, that every day if I'm making an act of faith and trust in God, if I'm praying regularly, if I'm sharing with him what's going on in my life, if I'm loving God and loving my neighbor, that's our place of security. Anything else? Satan is gradually taking territory back in my own life and in my own heart, and it's biblical. St. Paul talks about it. The Old Testament talks about it. The cursing, the jealousy, the drunkenness, the fornication, the adultery, the hatred, the unforgiveness, the resentment that I allow into my heart, into my life, Satan takes back territory, and it's a place of danger. It's not safe. It's not secure. So this whole vision that Jesus sees Satan fall like lightning, there's a warning in all of it, as there should be. The good news is no news if there's not bad news. The bad news is that hell is absolutely possible for every person in this church. But we don't live in fear of hell. We live in hope of the good things that God has brought about in the world, that Jesus keeps his promises, that he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and where I am, you one day will be. I will bring you to myself. Satan's kingdom is coming to an end, and it's happening in the heart and the life of every Christian who's trying to be transformed, who's trying to be renewed, who's trying to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. We cannot do it on our own. And these 72 friends of Jesus are the example. We cast out demons in your name, not in my name, in your name. Whatever temptation I face, whatever suffering I endure, we never do it in isolation. We never do it alone. Satan loves to pull us apart and get us isolated, to discourage, to disappoint, to put fear into the hearts of believers. And yet Jesus comes to bring his light. And Christians go forward in the world, even though the harvest is abundant and the laborers are few. We're begging the Lord that we would be laborers in his harvest, to bring the light of Christ into all the world. That's a message of hope, but we don't do it in our own name. We do it in the name of Jesus.